Yo, yo, welcome everyone. Welcome back. Long overdue episode. Took a small hiatus of the All Things Bengals podcast, but with yours truly, B Things and Bengals Drake. Drake, how you doing, bro?
Doing good, bro. I mean, I'm on vacation right now. I'm just chilling at home, but on vacation for the week, man. Just gonna.
You on vacation?
Huh?
You on staycation?
Staycation. Yeah, I'm on staycation.
All right.
But we're handling some business over. Yeah, little Florida action in Cincinnati, that's all I'll say. But
hey,
little nightcap edition, little Ocho Cinco Shannon. But anyways, man, it's been good. It's awesome. You know, we got the combine here soon, then we got the draft. You know, things are gonna ramp up a little bit, and then you know, we'll see how time goes after that. Then you got the draft in April. So I mean, think about it. You got March. You have free agency. You get the excitement. Then you wait till the next month for a draft. And then for the summer, I feel like the summer always goes pretty fast because you know you're enjoying the summer, and then right then, boom. You got fucking, you know, preseason, training camp, all that. So before you know it, B Things, listen, just like, this is what's crazy, man. Just like we were talking in week one, right? Like, oh my gosh, like before you know it, it's going to be week 17. Before you know it, we're going to be right back on here and it's going to be week one. Just, you know, before we got on the pod about an hour ago, bro, I was watching a recap game of the Buffalo Bills versus Cincinnati Bengals from last year, man. It's just like, it's like, wow. It's just crazy because when you think about it, like that's a throwback now. Like that's last year, and you know, it's a new year. Man, Bengals. Yeah, I'm gonna start it off like this. All right, Bengals are getting a new locker room. Okay, state of the art. It's gonna be crazy. I think you saw a lot of people tweeting about it. Joe Burrow, this is what Joe Burrow does. But, I mean, a lot of credit to Katie Blackburn, man. I think behind the scenes, you've kind of seen it. She's taken over more, you know, over the last few years in terms of really running the show in Cincinnati. And it's awesome to see, man, like just the level of change that has occurred, and now you change the locker room up, and I think it's been long overdue, and you get that change, and it's honestly underrated, because think about it, bro. Imagine after because the timetable date is to be done by week one. So what I'm thinking that they're doing, bro, they got it set by week one. I think that they're gonna hold it out because until then they're doing conjoint lockers, so two players I guess are gonna, you know, be to like a cubby or whatever. I don't know how they're gonna do it.
Yeah.
But look, week one comes around. That's the timetable. That's what they're saying. So I'm week one, right before the game, bro, they're gonna just, you know, fucking let the cover down, you know. Let's show them. And I think it's gonna be something crazy, really. I think it's gonna be fire. And just, you gotta think, man, imagine the energy just going in there and just looking around. I think it's gonna bring a different type of vibe. You need that. It seems kind of like, I don't know, like maybe not at, you know, not that serious, but I feel like it has a little effect, in my opinion. I think it's cool.
Yeah. No doubt, bro. I mean, I just want to add, I mean, you're definitely the first guy on the planet to go into 2.5 in-depth analysis on the locker room restoration. That's sick.
No, because you know what's crazy? I wish I could credit the guys that I watched on YouTube earlier, but you're crediting me for 2 minutes, bro. They went on a set. This is a channel that they cover all 32 teams. You know what I mean? So, like, they're not like a biased channel that just does certain shit. Like, they do everyone. But anyways, And I said, "Biased shit as if we're biased. We are not biased, guys. We are 100% truthful on this platform." But anyways, they were spitting, bro, and they were crediting Katie Blackburn the whole time. And it was like, it was kind of opening my eyes. So I kind of stole their topic in the intro. But at the same time, I'm crediting them now. But yeah, bro, like, I don't know. They just went on a whole tant, like a whole rant about the locker room and what it does. And I was like, you know what? It actually makes sense when you think about it. Like, it actually does make sense in simple terms. Yeah.
I mean, there's other restorations going on as well. I'm actually not even completely aware of them. I think there's going to be some new seats going to be put down, which is nice. Well, very, very much needed. Dude, I actually, at the Colts game, I don't think you ended up going to that one. But
are they added on or redoing seats?
I think, yeah, no, they're redoing them. I mean, shit, them will be wild. Yeah, I don't really know how you do that. But nonetheless, redoing them.
Hold up. What was fucking – I'm sorry to cut you off. I was in the podcast, bro, and I was listening to BK, and he was saying the Browns might have put a dome on their stadium, and he was talking about the Super Bowl in Cleveland. What –
Oh, God, bro.
Were you in there or no?
No, dude.
Oh, I thought you were. Never mind.
It fucking sucks. Ugh. God. That's egregious, bro. Ugh, just that's the most BK bullshit fucking thing I've heard in a minute, dude. That's ridiculous. All right, back to sensical football, other than stupid Burger King takes. He's a character, man. But, nah, man, it's actually funny. I was going to say the funny story of the Colts game this year. It was just when it was starting to get cold on, like, early December. Bro, I was up in the 200s, and there was padding on the back of the seat. I was like, what the fuck, bro? I've sat in 149 my entire life. Like, little kid, you know, up until now, like, I've never sat anywhere else but 149. And, like, 5 minutes into the 300s, and I got, you know, had to leave because I nearly beat the shit out of Steelers fans. 149. There's no padding on the back of the seats. There's padding on the back of the seats, and I'm like pounding the chairs because I get lit at the games. And I broke the chair. I was like, damn. Yeah, I was like, dude, I'm a beast, or these chairs need replaced. So I guess Mike sent him a fucking passenger pigeon over to him and told him, hey, buddy, need some new chairs here. And I guess he listened. So
I guess after B-Thanks was not, you know, signed this offseason to be, because you think about it, you could have been the Jake Browning of this year, but you weren't. So you went into his stadium, you broke his chairs essentially and made him revamp, get new seats.
Oh, yeah. I made my impact known, you know, on and off the field. Yeah. I mean, I can't be replaced. You know, so they felt the wrath, you know, they felt the impact in my production. You know, and instead of paying me, they have to pay towards something else. So karma's a bitch.
Which helps everyone else out, right? I mean, you're helping out the people. People.
Yeah. I mean, of course, like, you know, a lot of people call Mike greedy, right? He doesn't spend, right? Well, I made him spend on something. Look, dude, that's
wait. They're actually doing that, though. Is that what they were talking about doing?
Some of the seats, not a ton. Yeah, but let's go ahead and turn to the macro, the most important part right now. I mean, I guess one part, obviously, as I mentioned at the beginning of the pod, me and Drake kind of took a couple week hiatus because that's how everything has been these past couple weeks. Until the past few days, Drake. We've got some heating up going on, you know, obviously franchise tag, starting period began on the 25th, I think.
Yeah.
What a day. Oh, there's confidence. Actually, I want to refrain. I don't know if they said confidence. I think that's a big difference. The Bengals are actively working to extend T. Higgins or a franchise tag overall. Like, kind of duh, like I guess just seeing it in language, right? Ooh, wow, exciting. Like, but the big thing is they went ahead and told T he is going to be tagged. He's not going to sign it. Remember, a lot of people are starting to get this a bit confused because the Bengals have said what their stance is. You are now getting tagged. He does not have to sign that until July. Okay? Got it on the post. And this is going to be the fun topic. Why exactly would they do it this early? Just earlier that day, they said potential extension. Gonna work through it. Gonna figure it out. Couple things with that, man. Little birdie on how the NFL works. You got Combine coming up this week. Yeah, bro. So, I mean, what do you think of that?
I also was thinking, like, I wonder if maybe it's something that didn't happen. Maybe I'm completely wrong. I was like wondering maybe when those reports came out, like the day before, you know, T. Higgins and a contract extension, I almost wonder, like, what if they both came together, you know, Mike Brown, KD, blah, blah, blah. Then T signed, they came in. And what if, you know, they just compared numbers where they were at, you know what I mean? They were trying to see long term what both sides were seeing, and then maybe, you know, go ahead, place franchise tag on the day after. I don't know. Maybe I'm completely wrong. You know what I mean? Might be, probably am, but at the same time, yeah, I don't know. I think with the combine coming up, you do have an opportunity, right? There could be buzz. I mean, it's not uncommon for, you know, a GM to come up to Duke and be like, "Hey, man," you know, and talk about T. You never know. Things happen. But at the same time, you saw it last year when Duke, and actually, it's going to be interesting what Duke says at the combine this year, right? Because you know he's going to get questions asked about T. Higgins. You know, see his response from last year to this year. You know, if you want your T. Higgins, you know, go get your own. So I think, yeah, I think that's probably going to be really interesting to see his response out there. But I have nothing but full confidence. T. He'll be a Bengal, you know, in 2024 when it all said and done. But I mean, man, I wonder. I wonder how, you know, how what a world looks like in that sense. And you're giving him 20, I mean, you're giving him 20, almost 22 million fully guaranteed this year if he plays on that tag. So I almost wonder if in a contract situation, like, does that play into factor? You think it would, right? Like, that's 22 million fully guaranteed on first year. You know, I just feel like that's. Seems like,
Well, it's if I had to guess, it's the long-term security. And, you know, obviously what we are going to touch on, you know, kind of for fun and some realities, a little bit more than we thought with the JJ type thing. You hear on his camp, some friction with the deal is because they're not willing to guarantee after year two. What are some of the commonalities or not even really commonalities, almost religion with how the Bengals operate. And it is religion at this point because they nearly have practically done it with Joe's deal. So to do it this big of signing dudes on their second contract, guarantee all cash up front via signing bonus or through other languages throughout the deal, it's not that complicated with the guarantees. They don't like to guarantee out anything after year two. Very little in year two for some guys. I think
basically,
they have some and Joe has a bit, but beyond that, that's how they operate. And T's the same way, you know. And so yeah, you got the 22 mil up front, you know, with the franchise, but I wouldn't be surprised if they're only offering them
right.
guaranteed
True.
for 4 years.
Yeah. I think now you since you want to talk about JJ, we were talking about a pre-pod. Now I want to talk about it because
Do
you
it.
look at Bengals, right? After they tagged T, they are still top 10 in cap space, right? 50 million. They're at ninth. in cap space after the tag with T. Higgins. So they're set $50 million heading into free agency. Man, but you talk about JJ, right? You go back to the interview with Ja'Marr Chase, and to make that happen, everyone knows, right? Everyone knows what would have to make that happen. It would have to be those two coming together and knowing that they are going to both pretty much take pay cuts, you know, to win. You know, they're both not going to be able to get high, you know, highest paid in the league. Can't do that. But at the same time, man, if you had the chance, you had the chance and opportunity, man, I think those are two guys that really love winning, and they're young, bro, and they're going to make it. Ja'Marr even said it. He said, I ain't greedy. Like, these guys know they're about to make a lot of money in their lifetime. It's like, bro, if you can make it happen for even just a few-year period, I mean, bro, especially in your prime, like, if they could make that happen, man, that would be, like, that would probably be the break, like, news bomb of the fucking century. So,
well, think about this. We've talked about it multiple times, right? But I think an evolved opinion I would have is, oh, dude, I feel it already. I'm getting a little hype now. All right.
Listen, that's what I'm saying. When you said JJ, I was like, you know what? I guess. Yeah,
but here's the craziest part. I would not have predicted that this early. Even in, look, dude, it's an inkling from a fucking media member. All right. It could be utterly prediction time. Hot take from this Minnesota reporter. All right. Who knows? Like, I would have to read the exact language of his comment or any quotes of anything if this is legit. All right. That there could be, you know, friction like this. But if there, I would not have expected it before that combine.
Right.
This early. T. Higgins franchise tag.
And you got to think, like, if in that sense, listen, it helps. Because we're going to talk about this, right? We're having fun. We're talking about the JJ conversation.
Talking about this shit.
If you really think about it in a trade sense, it makes a lot of sense. Because, look, Minnesota already has Jordan Addison, who it looked great as a rookie, right? Even with Jefferson out, looked really good. Then to combine with that, I know you don't get, you know, you're not gonna have Jefferson no more. But how about this? You get T. Higgins, who is a high end wide receiver one.
Hawkinson.
You still have Hawkinson, but also listen to this. You get T. Higgins a lot cheaper than Justin Jefferson, like a lot cheaper. So that helps their cap out, right? Then they can figure out the quarterback situation. Then, as we talked about, the Bengals, Jamar's team, Justin's team, Ja'Marr and Justin would have to be in on this shit. Like, everyone knows that they would. And that's what would make both every side happy, in my opinion, is because I think, like, everyone knows, like, these two guys would have to take a pay cut in order for this opportunity to happen. Like, they would have to structure that some way. But, man, and the thing is, the Bengals have that money, bro. Right now, at least, they have that money. Even next year, I mean, they have that money. So it's like, and you know, the Bengals are one of, if not the best teams in the NFL at structuring contracts. So I mean, I think that obviously it's long shot, but man, that makes sense for all parties.
It is, and it's a golden one, and I think you're missing out a big part what I've thought about a bit more from the Vikings side, because look, dude, nothing is happening without the Vikings. Like, and most importantly, JJ putting his foot down. Because no way the Vikings are just going to offload their best player. Exactly. Like, I think JJ is going to have to put his foot down and say, get me the fuck out of here. Like, maybe this is something that pushes him over the edge. There's already obviously friction on alignment with the outlook on their future. If JJ was wholeheartedly bought in, he would have structured the deal accordingly. He's been exceptionally healthy beyond, you know, the unfortunate 6-8 games he was out this year. Beyond that, he's been exceptionally healthy. Like, it's clear on the outlook with the Vikings, you know, and maybe he almost feels even more disrespected that, oh, this is how you're going to treat me? We just have frictions with second, you know, future guarantees, and you want to fuck
consider. Well, listen, B, thanks.
Fuck out of here.
Well, look, it's kind of like I told you. The reason why he actually hasn't signed it is because of the uncertainty at quarterback. So it's like if they don't figure out the quarterback situation, it might get to that where he's like, nah, I'm not, no. You know, bro, what I mean?
Here's how the Vikings can be compelled to do this. Listen to this. Yeah. Cardinals have the 4th overall pick.
I cite. Yep.
The Bengals trade T. Higgins in a 1st. It sounds insane. T. Higgins 1st to the Vikings. The Vikings have pick 11 and 18. Move up to 4. Get your star quarterback with the quality O-line. Fuck running backs. Who cares? T.J. Hockenson. T. Higgins, and Jordan Addison.
Wow.
Like, with Kevin O'Connell. That is how I think that this could happen. So.
Smart, bro. And I mean, at that point, they might even find a way to get up a little closer, maybe. Who knows?
Maybe even. Never mind. I was going to say the 1st overall pick, but no way the Bears are trading to a rival to get Caleb Williams in their division.
As we're kind of touching on the combine and shit, you know, draft, you know, obviously we got free agency 1st, but I still want to touch on it a little bit. You see, like, there are a lot of quarterbacks that go early that could shake out the draft a lot differently, right, in terms of players falling down and good players of value falling down. You know, what's your thoughts on that? Do you think a lot of quarterbacks are going to go early here in the draft?
Yeah. I mean, I think the consensus has been at least 4, potentially, maybe, possibly 5. I mean, Bo Nix. I doubt Bo Nix goes.
What's the hype on J.J. McCarthy? Is he 1st round?
Yeah, a lot of people are saying he's going to go, like, top 15. Like, hey, I want him all to go. Oh, I mean, just the more that go, you know, the more likely that a guy like Brock drops down. But then again, dude, like, Brock's one of the best players in the draft.
A lot of people are hating.
Player, dude.
Listen, a lot of people are hanging their hats on that. And when the combine comes here in a few days and he tests out, like, a fucking – alien, no, he's not falling to 18, man.
Yeah, I mean, shit, we may have to trade up for him, or, you know, we may not even have a 1st round pick if we land, you know, JJ. But
there's not even a tight end worth taking in the 1st round after Brock, right?
There's multiple guys, bro. You got Jadeveon Sanders is a dog, Ben Sinnett.
But you would take those guys in the 1st round.
Oh, no, might be. No, I heard you wrong. No, that's right. No, I would not.
Right, so Brock is only tight end in 1st round. Exactly, so that's another thing that I think is really, really valuable. It's like, man, he's the only tight end that's going to be worth taking in that 1st round. And if he tests out crazy athletically, it's gonna be nice. I know a lot of guys talk about that other guy, Mims, the tackle. I'm not feeling the vibe on him right now, man. I really want that one guy, the Samoan guy. Is he Samoan? Or am I wrong?
Yeah, Teleese Fuaga.
I want him, or I want JC Latham, or we riot.
Ooh, JC? It's kind of unathletic, bro. But all right, I mean, look, yeah, there's gonna be, you know, a ton more developing with these guys. There's lots of, you know, there's so many names, dude. Like this.
Hey, I ain't gonna lie. I've been on the train low key, a little bit of getting that young interior bull rush defensive tackle. I've been on the trenches for first round. I just teased that before we get into the serious draft talk. But yeah, man, I don't know.
Oh, yeah. I mean, to me, if it's not Brock Bowers, like, it is trenches, period. Like, you beef up the trenches. And, yeah, dude, I mean, this is going to be a trenches offseason. Like, I thought about, I mean, it sounds even goofy. We really should just put the JJ conversation to bed. But, like, in just some crazy scenario, if, like, they would both be, ready to be paid probably now. And Jamar probably doesn't want to wait, like, for an extension either. So, actually, you could extend Jamar this year and sign JJ. And then Jamar's contract wouldn't hit into effect because I think Jamar's, I don't know. Nonetheless, how much cap would you have? Let's just kind of get to the reality here. Obviously, JJ, leave that over there. Michael Nwenu.
Bro, I was literally going to bring this guy up. I know, wasn't there a report that came out saying that there was multiple teams that already, I think the Bengals
were. Yeah.
I don't know how accurate it is, but at the same time, I think that is, like, when you talk about trenches, I have liked him. I think he would be a really good addition.
I mean, look, dude, he's versatile. He's, I think, young. I think he's like 25. Michigan product. They produced a lot of really good O linemen. Yeah, man. I mean, look, dude, he's played four or five positions, like, in the NFL, and that's extremely valuable. He's really athletic, and yeah, dude. I mean, I'm kind of like the
guard or tackle.
He's a tackle. He'd be right tackle, no doubt. I'm just starting to like the idea of just paying to solve it now. And I know we paid so much on the O-line. And then go all in on defensive tackle in the draft. But then again, there's so many tackles to like in the draft. It's kind of common sense to get your Jermaine Illuminor. Get your tackle in the first. Find your defensive tackle in the second. That actually makes the most sense for sure. Because I think the draft will fall or the board will fall.
I think both make sense in my opinion, because I think at 18, you're still. I really do think you're going to get good value in this draft, at least with a defensive tackle at that point in the draft. No matter what, I think the value you're going to get is good. I mean, yeah, look back at, you know, Aaron Donald and guys like that. You just never know. You just got to find that guy. And I like the defensive tackles in this class. There's one guy, I can't think of his name, that I like a lot.
Well, I mean, when is he projected to go? Do you know?
First round. If you said his name.
There's Byron Murphy, Johnny Newton.
I think it's Byron Murphy.
Byron Murphy is incredible. Yeah. Oh, my God. I do the things I do to land a guy like that, dude.
Yeah, bro.
That's we need to do.
That's the guy, bro. It's like, bro. We need.
That's what's odd, bro. Like, you can do so much better. I want to refrain. Not so much better. You can do better than BJ Hill. That's why this is going to be so interesting, because when you look, when do you find yourself comfortable enough to move on from a BJ Hill or that $10 million.
I saw your comment tonight too on the Suns page.
I don't even remember. What was it? Oh, BJ. Yeah. Hey, I mean, that was fire. I mean, for a second, I thought the Bengals posted, but it was obviously in Phoenix, so Bengals media team isn't there. But interesting how they got a picture with DJ. But, I mean, Sam Hubbard is kind of in the middle, nonetheless.
No, DJ was in the middle. Sam was on the end.
I know. That's what I was saying. That's why they obviously Borgen just fit DJ in there. It's not like just DJ. Nonetheless, I'd love for DJ to be back. It's going to be an interesting dynamic. Definitely going to be on your coattail about any inklings we'll keep it between us. But I thought about that tonight. I'm like, damn, I'm looking forward to getting some express fucking insight from Drake ahead of everybody else, just like with last year. Like, did you hear Vaughn was offered blah, blah, blah? I'm like, dude, I knew that, dog. In the, I'm not telling you my fucking source. Everybody knows right here.
That's hilarious. That is
But yeah, man, it's so much opportunity. Like, that's what should be encapsulated right now, right, guys? I know we, one second, bro, one second. We kind of been encapsulating, you know, a lot of the vibes right now. There's a lot of opportunity, guys, and like, this is a prime off season that, yes, the perception could be that there is a ton of holes on this team, and that's not for me to say that there aren't. Then we, some optimists, you know, optimistic people may have thought, like me, like you know, like a lot of other fans that just see opportunity. Like, yes, there are holes. There's not a ton though, and there's a great opportunity in free agency and the draft to stock up on these positions, like trenches, both sides, tight end, running back. There's talent, dude. And later in this episode, I want to talk about a running back in particular in the draft. That's like, you know what? I'm stamping it right here. Your guy last year was Jahmyr Gibbs. I'm gonna just say it now. Mine is Jalen Wright out of Tennessee.
Okay. Tennessee guys, Alvin Kamara came out of there.
Yep, listen, bro. 210 pounds.
Okay.
4-3 flat.
Oh, yeah. All right. Sounds good,
Dude.
Sam.
Oh my God, bro. He averaged 7.6 yards per carry this year. Right. He is so athletic. He's so agile for his size. And one little nuance I'll add, bro, I did not know Chase Brown was 210 pounds. I thought he was like 195. That's a big deal. But we know it, bro. I mean, this is the AFC North. You need a big body back that can handle contact, right? Like, yes, I'm sure they're inclined. You know, they showed us kind of like with the tight end, you know, production. They want to evolve to probably go more of a committee role. So it's not like a Chase Brown, if he had carries for 2 years, he'd go Austin Eckler, you know, and kind of sizzle out. But
That's honestly like so crazy that you brought up the running back situation, because when I was like going, I was literally thinking about Joe Mixon and how much circulation there still is with his name, and it seems like we're gonna talk about Joe every episode because it seems like there's gonna be updates. You have that bonus coming
yep.
soon. I don't know what day exactly.
Early March.
Early March, right? I think that is going to be a big thing, right? To see Joe Mixon's future 100%. But man, it's like at this point, it's like, yeah, I did think like the whole time, like it makes sense to keep Mixon. But it's like similar to last year, like I like Jahmyr Gibbs so much, and I like the idea of having Jahmyr, but obviously still having Mixon. But, you know, if you had Jahmyr Gibbs, I feel like at that point you probably would cut ties with Joe. Who knows? Maybe you would keep him, so you still have that 1-2 punch. But at the same time, you have so many running backs in the free agency market this year, and then you also have running backs too, young, fresh running backs coming out. So it's like, in I understand like Mixon isn't making that much, but then when you also look at the cap hit and you look at other things factored in, I do understand where some people's perspectives from the other point of view comes in. In my opinion, I would keep Mixon, but at the same time, I also understand. You know what I mean? Like, I understand if you have to do what's best, you have to do what's best. But at this point, you know what I mean? I think the simple answer is keep choding.
I mean, I'd love to keep Joe, and
But I mean if you can always upgrade, like I said, if you can give me a Saquon or someone that
can come in here and just do their thing paired with Chase. And I agree with you. I think there is that possibility of like that running back by committee, right? You bring in, say, a cheap veteran, and then you also draft a running back. So then you got Chase, you got free agent, and then you also have the rookie. There's a combination of things.
Yeah.
I feel like for the money, even though the money's low, B-thanks, like the running back market, and that's going to be interesting this year too, because last year it dried up so much, the running back market. So it's going to be interesting this year to see what that looks like. Because who knows, man? Mixon might be making right around or more than what he should. I mean, it's what happened last year. You know what I mean? When he had to restructure, I mean, it's a new year now. So we'll have to see, brother.
No doubt, man. Yeah, it's going to be an interesting dynamic for sure.
What if the running back market totally, like, they might have to actually, like, petition the position, bro, because that's crazy. Like, running backs.
Thinking about it, like, NFLPA. Yeah, I made a few tweets about it, you know, in the offseason. I was like, bro, when is this going to come to a head? Like, with the NFLPA to have to step in.
You got to think that's one of the most, like, prominent positions in terms of injuries and also, like, the projection of, like, time at that position. It's, like, dude, on average, like, most, like, prime dudes – it's like 4 to 5 years at best, and that's not everything.
Yeah, I mean, it is pretty devastating.
I mean, you remember Philip Lindsay, bro?
Yeah. Oh my gosh, dude.
Demon.
How crazy was that, man? Like the degree of flash in the pannery he was, bro. Like, he was a deserved Pro Bowler.
That's
crazy. Like, a legit deserved Pro Bowler, and yeah, to have that, you know, type of demise is pretty wild. But yeah, dude, I mean, with Joe Mixon, I was thinking about it today. Like, when it comes to the spaces talk, you know, for however many of you Bengals fans that are in the spaces with me, and you know, a lot of the awesome Bengals personalities, a lot, like, I said it a few days ago, bro, I'm so fucking tired of the antics with this fan base and Joe Mixon. It's fact. I was like, bro, we have fucking hit every goddamn corner when it comes to breaking down the value of Joe Mixon or not value of Joe Mixon. Look, dude, he's a great fucking player. We love him here on the All Things Bengals podcast. I love Joe Mixon. You love Joe Mixon. He can still be a value. We've talked about it a ton. I would love it if he stayed. I would be disappointed if he left, but I'd completely get it. Yay, more money. Like, that's where I'm at. And I'll just leave it there. They will bring a running back in no matter what. A young running back. But I will add, if they do move on from Mixon, fucking, like, bro, I think it's stupid. The Bengals will not do this. Of fans and like that, the Bengals would pay a guy like Derrick Henry. Why the fuck would you pay a running back going in year 9 of his career?
I saw DeAndre Swift.
No. Like, look, dude. Look at the Chiefs.
Yeah.
They have a I won't even say dipshit running back. He just runs so funny. It annoys me. And he's a nobody running back that runs hard, that doesn't have a ton of tools in his tool belt beyond a strong runner. And he's strong.
Bro, I thought he was going to pull a Jeremy Hill in the Super Bowl. I'm not going to lie.
Oh, my gosh, dude. Thank you for proving my point even further. The dude was a dumb fuck in the Super Bowl. He fumbled the ball 3 times. He fumbled it 2 times. He fumbled onto himself a 3rd time. That is the value of the running back position. And you won a Super Bowl. Why pay for one if you let one go? So when fans are like, oh, pay $3-4-5 million for a mid-ass guy. Like, get seven Devin Singletary for $3.5-4 million. How fucking stupid is that? No, bro. I'm not kidding. I'm not kidding when I say this. The Bengals could go into the draft with Chase Brown. I mean, as long as there's no, like, true underlying injury concerns, like, which I don't think there are with Chase. Well, they could literally go in the draft with cut Joe Mixon, don't sign a single fucking veteran running back, and go with Chase Brown.
He didn't have any significant injuries in college, did he, Chase?
Nope, that's what I'm saying. So I'm pretty sure.
The reason why his draft stock fell, right, was because he had so much production in college, right?
Exactly. Yeah, yeah. He was the highest producing running back in college. So they're like, whatever. But, like, that's kind of how I see it. Will the Bengals see it like that? No. I'm kind of saying that out of a little, you know, tongue-in-cheek, like, kind of annoyed at this point because I'm so fucking tired of this overexhausted conversation with Mixon. But that's just where I'm at. Like, look, dude, would I love a Saquon Barkley? Fuck yeah, I would. What was my conversation with it last year? I think things have changed a little bit. Like, if the Bengals signed Saquon, I'd be fucking stoked. But beyond Saquon Barkley, bro, like, I'd have to do a lot of research into a guy. And I'm an optimistic guy, so I will find things I like about XYZ running back that's not named Joe Mixon. But, like, just why not keep the decision black and white of, hey, man, we're going to choose to pay running back substantially this offseason or not. Don't go wishy-washy.
I saw Zach Moss. Goodberry was talking about Zach Moss.
No, 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 no. Stupid Goodberry take. Barry, doofus Barry. Why pay $5 million for a running back that's on he's on a second contract. No. He's in year four of his career.
No, he said Zach Moss, you would be paying less than Mixon.
Yes. That's like $4.5 million. Like, maybe four. He had a really good year this year. That's capped in a running back two situation. Yes, he has second level burst and he has good size. Draft one. Like, that's what I tell. That's what's so. Yeah. Like, he wants to talk about the devaluing of the position. Then why do you want to continue to put value into the position? If you want to save your money, why don't you go fucking, instead of spending. This is kind of exaggerated, okay? Because, like I said, the reality is, sure, you should probably go get a veteran running back if you want to keep it in language and textbook of, you know, responsibility and not pinning yourself to a draft pick to reach for a guy. Got it. But look, you got 9 fucking picks. You have 2 luxuries. I mean, I guess you have, you know what I mean? Like, beyond 7, you have 2 luxuries. Secure a fucking running back. Get 2 of them. I don't give a fuck. Revitalize the room. Get young juice in there, okay? Because the recipe is out. The Eagles traded for a guy that, yeah, I mean, DeAndre Swift, he was a good player. But, like, they didn't use him that much. They still won a lot of games. That's really not a good example because they collapsed. But the Chiefs, obviously the best example. The Niners, they are the rare ones. They are the rare ones. But the Ravens, you know, it's like these other teams. The Lions injected a young rookie draft pick. And, you know, Devin Singletary? Is it
Singletary? Yeah.
It is, yeah. Shout out fucking Northside legend. You know he's from Mount Healthy, Ohio, right? Like in Coleraine.
The Texans running back?
No. David Montgomery.
Yeah,
fuck, I got his name confused, but nonetheless, pretty dope with that one. But a lot of these teams are going running back by committee, bro. Yeah. Just, you want to go all in with what you think is most important? Is running back most important this offseason? Fuck no. No, 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 I don't care. I don't care. If you want to cut Joe Mixon, go prioritize Jalen Wright then. That's who the fuck I want. That's who everybody can watch. I mean, that's where I'm at with the running back position. So
I think a running back by committee might solve our running issue, possibly.
Hey, man, can you do you run fast as fuck? Do you run fast as fuck and can run away from people? Are you not?
But that's all they want, bro. Literally, I feel like that's all the Bengals want. The Bengals want like Chase Brown, bro, to where they can just like out of nowhere just sprint speed on a defense. You know what I mean? Like, yeah, bro. That's why you saw Chase getting a good amount of carries there.
Yeah. I mean, yeah, man. I think that's where I'm at with it. Look, dude, here's the thing we got to touch on. You said this as soon as we hopped on pre-recording here. Could not believe it. Bengals would be ninth in cap space after, listen, everybody, after T. Higgins tag. Ninth highest cap space in the fucking league.
Yeah.
Dude, I mean, we're ready to make some fucking moves.
Yeah.
Here. I mean, there's just a lot of opportunity, man.
Like, so let me ask you. I think this is an interesting question because I think some of the positions that we've talked on are kind of like the same positions, right? We talk about the trenches, like an interior D-line or like a right tackle. But in terms of free agency, because you know at the end of free agency, we'll probably come out with at least four or five guys, right?
Yeah.
Right? Yeah. Four or five guys, typically, maybe more, maybe one less. Yeah. I don't know. But four or five is good guesstimation. But outside of maybe a right tackle or maybe a DJ reader or something, like, what other positions do you think the Bengals could add in free agency?
Connor.
Okay.
Tommy
Townsend?
Yep. I mean, look, man, like, you want to solve a position of need? Like, when was the last time we've had that as a clear position of strength?
Yeah.
I mean, the decline of Kevin Huber the past few years he was there.
Free Darren Simmons.
Yeah, I mean, it wasn't horrible with the final 5 years of Kevin Huber, but obviously the last 16, 20 games of Kevin Huber was unbearable. He switched halfway through the season. And then since then, I mean, you have had the worst punting in football.
Yeah.
The Steelers kind of make a, I don't want to say wild, but, you know, Presley Harvin, I remember when he was a drafted punter and I just scoffed and laughed, like, what a joke. Like, then we did it. I was like, oh, my God, what the fuck are we doing? Like, laughing at myself. Like, I can't believe we drafted a punter.
It's all a problem.
So that's a position for sure. I don't know the language of a Jake Browning deal. I don't know if, like, there's going to be any talks on the number that he's extended. I don't know exactly how the RFA stuff works. Right. So I'll look into that, but that's obviously going to be something that gets finalized, right, as an RFA. Here's another one. I think Trent Irwin's a free agent. Is he not?
Yep.
Yeah, he is. So what does that look like? You know, does maybe another team, you know, looking for some veteran guy from a winning team?
Wouldn't be surprised. Maybe.
Yeah. Like, he kind of reminds me of Noah Brown. You know, maybe he could provide some value to another team. I'd love to bring T.I. back.
Kind of like a lesser version of Cole Beasley.
Yeah, lesser in like every way. Nah, I'll say this. Like, Trent is incredible. It's just, he actually is a really, really fucking good wide receiver.
Yeah.
He's just a notch below in all facets, which is fine. Like, not every player is even. It's just, he's so slow. I mean, he runs a 4.7. You know, like, that's inadequate, to say the least.
But he's getting older.
Yeah, exactly. He's getting older. Another position.
Corner. Cheeto. What's your thoughts on the replacement? You got to sign a veteran corner, right?
Yeah, for a second I thought you said bring Cheeto back. That's an interesting thing. Like, PFF has Cheeto getting 11.5 mil per year. I just don't see that. No. How? Like, they also have DJ Reader still at $15 million. That's not happening. That's obviously, like, they're leaving out the injuries. That's a huge deal. So, I don't know what a Cheeto deal looks like. But, also, I actually, I'm just talking myself out of it as much as I have again. Like, I don't see Cheeto coming back because he wants a chance to re-up his value, right? To potentially get a last big deal to say, hey, I'm healthy again. I'm 28 years old by 25 offseason.
Right.
Or 29, give me one more big splash deal. That's not going to be with Cincinnati. You're not going to get the snaps you need to get it back. Right? So, seriously, Eli makes sense, dude. Eli makes fucking sense. I hope, man, I'd love for the rekindling to happen, the reunion. I mean,
what number is he gonna wear, man? He can't wear a 20 now.
Oh fuck, dude! I've always loved that with players, bro. When that dynamic happens, they
DJ Turner, I don't like 20 on DJ Turner, bro.
Yeah, he's a single digit guy to me. He's a number four.
Yeah,
number four. Oh, AJ. Go. Hey, look at that.
Yeah, AJ.
It's meant to be, though. AJ just leaves. I guess that's a little tidbit. Haven't added in there. Kind of expected that. That dynamic was interesting. Thought of when AJ signed, right?
Maybe they wouldn't let him have a single digit yet.
I mean,
unless you're Jamar Chase.
I was going to add really quick. Can you hear me well?
Yeah.
All right. It's pretty cool because I flipped my phone a different angle, but. That is interesting, though. Yeah, dude, Andre, single digits, bro. Please, please, dude. Like, who wears number 8? No one, dude. Please wear number 8. Like, number 3? Nah.
I feel like number 8's retired.
Nah, bro. Brandon Allen wore it.
Oh.
Definitely retired. Retired or retarded? Which one are you?
My God.
Damn, bro. Shout out. Hey, man. Look at you giving respect to the legend. The week 16, 2020 legend. Outdoing the fucking perverted quarterback up in Cleveland. Who supposedly has more nasty allegations brewing up against him, and he definitely deserves to be out of the league.
Fucking B-Dog, man. B-Dog. What nickname did he come up for Jake Browning? What was it? Jakey? Huh?
Oh, Jakey Spinrate?
Yeah. I mean, legend of nicknames, too, man. What a great guy.
I mean, JB... I liked JB Too Shicey. That was my interesting little.
Bro, Brandon Allen for quarterbacks coach.
Well, still a quarterback. So
I'm kidding. Kidding. I love our quarterback.
Oh, shit. Wait. Oh, we got Brad Krakdorp. I didn't think about that. That makes me think even more. There's a couple other coaches that have been added to the staff. Like, sorry, guys. Look. We took the hiatus for a couple weeks. I actually thought Drake died. Texted him, didn't get any response. I was like, you know what? Maybe just.
You want me to be honest? Can I address? I address people. So listen, man.
Yeah.
I had to go to the local cloning center. I had to talk to the people, and I had to tell them, look, I need my Bengals to win. All right, I can't afford to watch the Chiefs three-peat. So look, so I went into headquarters and I said, "This is why." Even Zim texted me. Nobody's heard from me. I had to go in, had to solidify it, make sure that, you know, we get it done. you'll win a Super Bowl. So, yeah, man, that's the basis of next year. Bengals are going to win the Super Bowl now, thanks to me. And then we're a few more to come.
What does that mean for you?
Huh?
Did you sacrifice yourself?
Not fully, no.
But where's the OG you? Is this you or is this cloned you?
Oh, I didn't get cloned, no. I just went to the headquarters and just talked to them. Like, hey, look, guys, if you need anything, just let me know. And then I sat down with the head guy, and basically we're going to
win the bowl.
Yeah, we're going to win the Super Bowl next year, man.
Damn, what an interesting story. That's crazy, man. I went to this dude just to hear him win the bowl.
Yeah.
I mean, look, it's always, you know, it's always what we're shooting for during this offseason. It's obviously a golden opportunity to do it. Lots of little things has happened, you know, throughout the past few weeks. But, you know, as we decompressed.
New turf.
Ooh, that's, yep, for sure, bro. What's it called? Like, it's like a, fuck, I don't remember the name of the turf. But it is interesting how Joe, you know, definitely spoke his opinions in the past about it, you know, earlier this past season, you know, on he was definitely for XYZ, same turf, you know, at every stadium, blah, blah, blah. Now there's only a couple stadiums left that I don't think have it, and they're definitely going to be pressured into getting it. So, yeah, man.
Wait, so what the Bengals did, Joe liked?
Yes, yes.
Okay.
Yes, I think the Bengals were. I think I saw one of.
Because I saw some people saying like, "Oh my God, they have the same turf as the Jets." Whoa, whoa, like.
I don't know, maybe, but like it's changing for the better,
right?
Like, yeah, like the Bengals are changing for the better. You know, one of the few. There are a few teams left that haven't changed, and that's what I was mentioning a moment ago, that they will probably be pressured at the NFLPA meeting this year. Like, look, every other team's blah, blah, blah. You know, make sure we keep the players safe. But, I mean, just trying to think of any other major things. We'll try to hold off a bit on free agency right now. You know, obviously, guys, for the last episode, you know, if you haven't listened to that, definitely tune into it. Me and Drake go pretty in-depth for a while about what a mock free or mock offseason could look like. We'll refrain from doing any free agency stuff right now because Combine Week, Drake, coming up on Thursday, you know, like you said, with the Brock Bowers type guy not falling to 18 because he's going to test crazy, other guys going to test crazy too. So it's going to be a fun week.
Yeah. So, I wanted to. Are we talking about the combine, or can I talk about? I was going to ask you something. Actually,
I mean, no. I there wasn't too much to touch on with the combine. I was just kind of talking about what's currently going on in this moment.
Thanks. Yeah. So a few days ago, there was an interview, and Jamar was, you know, we were talking about positions and playing certain areas on offense, X, Y, Z. Anyways. This is what he said. He said more words leading up to this, but in, you know, sum it up, he says, they still don't trust me in the slot yet. That's why I haven't played it so much. I don't know why. That's a question for them to answer. I'm not saying they don't completely trust me, but you know, certain routes I want to run, they don't trust me all the way running them yet.
Yeah, that makes no sense. There's no explanation for it. And I mean, look, bro, I think this is what we mentioned pre-pod as well. It's a gift and a curse, you know, as Bengals fans that observe Jamar. He's so transparent. I think he's pretty gullible, but he's just such an honest guy. And that's why he's so entertaining, because you never know what you're going to get. You don't know what you're going to hear from this guy, because he's going to give it to you as straight as possible. That just actually doesn't make a ton of sense. But if he is trying to what I could build from that of the lack of trust type of thing. Jamar's dude that focuses on creating space in the route, and he doesn't stress about being pressed.
It's a good rhyme.
Because he knows that he's going to be able to win the contested area of the route and at the catch point. And as a slot receiver, it is a bit more important to be refined as a route runner. And he's not super refined because he just focuses on creating space and getting open. Even though he's not a soft zone type of dude like Tyreek Hill, who just runs shallows all day, or Travis Kelce and just sits in a zone. You can do however you want. But maybe that's why. Maybe they need a dude that's really sharp, that's going to prioritize the craftsmanship of the position and create the space, manipulate what you got to do as a route runner, blah, 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 instead of just trying to get open. Look, who fucking cares?
Right.
Who cares? I mean, sure. I'm not saying if it's an 11-yard curl route to run a fucking 7-yarder because you're lazy. That doesn't happen in the league, bro. It's a over... Look, dude, I played slot receiver. That was my position specifically. Like, I mean, I did play outside, but like... And this kind of leads to a big thing that I do want to touch on with Andre here after this. It's probably not so much that they don't want Jamar to play in the slot because they want him, or they're... It's not as if they want him to be a slot receiver. Why? Like,
right.
You don't have to... It's a choice thing. So, yeah, like, moving into the slot, it's not that he is a slot receiver. It's how much do you need him to move to the slot to help
JJ. I mean, obviously, we've had way more talent, so it's like we don't have to do that. But maybe that's what it is. Like, you know, they move JJ all around in their offense.
You have to create space. Yeah, you have to force the defense into a different hand. Because, like, look, dude, I mean, fans have even indulged on it now. Like, if you don't have T, you know, Jamar's going to be triple covered all game, which he would. Like, he probably would. And I get it. That'd be a huge problem. I'm not saying it's not. But, you know, it's like, look, dude, you just want to help guys get open easier. Put them on bigger bodies. Put them on mismatches. That's the whole point of moving a receiver around. And it's okay, like, because I'm not an expert at fucking – I'm not an expert at 25 positions. And I'm not even an expert at wide receiver position. But if there was one, it's that position for me. And it goes with the whole Andre thing that we got to hit on. My tweet went mini viral with like 500,000 likes of Andre talking about what my offseason agenda is. We've already talked about it a lot on this pod. And he is my receiver 3 heading into 24 if I'm the Bengals. You know, and he could be a guy that could play the slot just as much as anybody else. Like,
what's up?
I said his athleticism, and his touchdown ability too. I mean, I agree with you.
I mean,
Bengals fans, we became accustomed to what a quality craftsman at the slot position looks like. That's not the only type of player that can play it. So I feel like a lot of Bengals fans think that you have to have a TB prototype to play that position because that's all that can. Look, dude, I tweeted this before and I'll say it again. The reality is, and it's perfectly encapsulated with us at our slot on defense. Why is Mike Hilton a slot corner? Is it because he's more athletic than CTB and Drago on the outside?
Right.
Exactly. He's not as athletic. He plays a little bit better being closer to the line of scrimmage, rely a bit more on instincts instead of...
He's dedicated to that position, just like TB.
It's not the dedication. It's the limitation.
Right, right.
Because you can't go outside. Like, that's why people are saying, well, they're not saying it because they know better, but if Trent Irwin is a sharp route runner, he is a good wide receiver, like I said a few minutes ago, he's just slower. If he would be best, it would be best in the slot. Because, look, dude, it's not like, oh, because you're slow, you're inevitably slot. It's we probably have guys that are faster that can win a bit better one-on-one. So let's go ahead and put them outside first and prioritize you third. Thus, you are moving to slot. So that's kind of the philosophy I felt like that I took a lot with observing wide receiver positions. And so all of that is thrown out the window when you think of who is the third best, highest upside of wide receiver we have on this team. Put them on the field. Like, I don't care how you line it up. Put Jamar 33%, T 33%, Andre 33%, 45%. I don't care percentage.
But then you say guys with limitation, right? That's Charlie Jones. But Charlie Jones, I mean, he's your slot guy. Say you don't extend T Higgins. Say you roll with that three. I mean, how do you feel about that? You say what you say. You're 0-3.
I'm pretty like without T. So Jamar, yep. Andre, good. Charlie.
Yep.
I'm concerned.
Okay.
Since Charlie did what Andre did, like he showed to be a quality guy that can make big plays, I mean, which he made one, right? You know,
I think he looked good in that Browns game.
He did look good, and I'm confident with Charlie as well. Like a lot of people are pretty low on him, and I'm about right where he finished this season, which, like you said, he started to show a bit of swagger. Obviously, the game, inferior talent, everybody was just wanting to get the fuck out of there, unfortunately, but still showed some upside. I recognize what his college career looked like, and a lot of people are like, oh, his age, he took so long to break out, blah, blah, blah. I don't really care. He is who he is today. I think he could provide you value, but that trio, oh, dude, I'd be pretty concerned. Like, oh, I mean, even if you got a Brock Bowers, I would be concerned because I just don't know if, like,
you would have to see more.
You would have to see more. And Andre, I don't know what year two Andre is going to be. We talked about it all along. It's going to take that guy to hopefully just 2 years, probably not longer, to become a legit pro, to really adapt to the league, to refine his game, to catch up, to become a quality talent in the league. And yeah, to thrust him into a receiver two dependency type role, the perfect position for Andre. And what's most likely to be the three behind two superstars that are going to get all of the attention. Andre Yosavash, number 80? Bro, we got number 5 and number 1 on the field. That's when Andre can flourish. He can be on the back burner to the defenses.
Kind of like Khalil Shakir for the Bills.
Yeah, that's a good fucking example. Or, yeah, I mean, I would say, like, whoever the three is with the fucking Dolphins, but, like, not the same thing. Yeah, I think that is a good example.
Tutu Atwell.
Not really, no.
Not game-wise, though. But, like, yeah.
Khalil Shakir may be one of the best examples because I'm just thinking of a young receiver three that's developing that has upside behind two quality. Yeah, it's probably the best one you got. I mean, you named a really good one. So, yeah, you know, a dude that can – it just puts a little bit less pressure on you as an individual, but enough confidence for the team to put you out there to get enough snaps to actually become that quality guy, right? Because – and I'm going to keep hammering this for every fan. Like, I think a universal philosophy is when you are paying premium dollars at premium positions – at the other premium positions, if you're not completely loaded, like quarterback, you don't want three premium quarterbacks. So obviously, fine. Like, we're good there. We're good at receiver one. It's as important as ever, not that it's any less important any other time, but as ever right now, to hit on premium positions in the draft.
Yeah.
Fans are talking about stressing about how tagging T. Higgins, like, I love T, but like 22 million is a lot of money in just like 1 year. Like, just let him walk, or we don't have enough money yet. Fans are wanting to pay more towards other premium positions. When you have the opportunity to develop a dude at a premium position with premium athleticism, a 6-round pick, with ad nauseam, bro. Why did the Chiefs win back-to-back Super Bowls? Because Travis Kelce just had an insane year and he went for 2,000 yards and Patrick Mahomes had the best year ever. Pat put up quarterback numbers this year. Mentally, look at them all. Look at all of his numbers. Travis Kelce, I mean, he's still one of – he's the greatest tight end of all time, I think. But I think that maybe stamped now at this point. But beyond that, what was it? Oh, it was that 22 draft. Like, that 22 draft where – their seventh-round pick, Jalen Watson, got 3 interceptions in the playoffs. He got a critical one against us. Brian Cook, Leo Chenault, George Karloftis, Trent McDuffie, Joshua Williams. Like, all of their picks hit. All day three picks. Isaiah Pacheco.
Like, you know what's crazy? You might actually be more knowledgeable than some Chiefs fans.
Yeah, I probably am.
you know, seriously, you might know more players than some Chiefs fans.
I probably do. Yeah, I probably do. Like, I mean, but it just bringing the point full circle. We have to give the dudes, especially at premium positions, but any position.
Yeah, I agree with you.
To develop, like, that's why, like, right now with a guy like Cordell Volston. Not that guard is the most expensive position in the game, but if you can fucking hit on an offensive line pick right now, you saw enough.
Right. If
you do that at year three, what if Andre Yosivash fucking hits?
Yeah.
What if he's an 800-yard receiver next year? What if he's a 650-yard receiver next year behind T. Higgins and Ja'Marr Chase going for 2,700 combined?
That would be ideal. That'd be nice.
Why the fuck were the Rams in 23? Why the fuck were the Seahawks revitalized from 22 to 23? Why did the Chiefs win back-to-back bowls? You hit on a ton of these guys. It's just annoying how a lot of fans like dump off the dudes that had just iffy want first years. And look, I mean, rip all the fans, like, look, is 99.99% of us like acquitted to be a GM? No, I'm definitely not. And a lot of these dipshit fans out here are the furthest away from being able to do that. But it just sucks how they fumigate a lot of other fans. Like, yeah, you know what? Yeah, Andre Yosivash concerns me. He dropped 2 passes that were really well contested. I don't trust his hands. Charlie Jones is too small, or Dax Hill concerns me, or the Bengals, I can't trust them to draft any trench piece because they you know, whiffed on Zach Carter, like, or Cornell Volson. You got to replace him. Look, dude, you just got to focus on the biggest areas of weakness right now. And you got dude's fucking developed. I mean, Zach Carter, no, he is an exception. He's a fucking sea dragon. Like, he's out of the league. You know, other guys like Cordell, Andre, you know, that's what off season for me, bro. Andre, stamp that shit.
Yeah. I mean, it's nice that you hit on Nick Scott, but talking about how you need to hit on these positions, similar to what we've been talking about during the off season, is like on this first rounder, man. Cannot be development. I mean, this first rounder that we select needs to. We need production right out of the gate. Like we need a rookie that can come in and have an impact on winning games week in and week out.
Yep. Yeah. I mean,
like we can't do it. We can't, bro. Like.
Yeah, the last 2 years to have developmental first-round picks, like, now that I'm thinking about it, bro, like, yeah, I'm definitely going to say, like, that, you know, it's a horrible idea for teams to ever do it.
Right.
But it's definitely not a great idea a chunk of times. Like,
It kind of reminds me, like I said, I'm not going to say it's always horrible. Like, if the Bengals ever did it again, I'm not going to be like, oh my God, we're destined for failure. But it reminds me of when the Bucks won the Bowl a few years back. Everybody, I mean, obviously, it's Bengals fan. I remember their first round pick. It was, fuck, I think I'm saying it was something tie in. Like, it was an edge rusher, right? Now, like, he's clearly a developmental piece. Like, he's not good. This guy that they drafted, and it set him back. And it just made me think of how, they just drafted a developmental premium position. Because when you're not in desperate need of any position, you gotta draft a premier one, a premium one, right? Like, you draft the top five position. It's fundamental football. Quarterback, tackle, pass rusher, wide receiver, cornerback. Draft one. Quarterback, teams that are great are off the table. You have four positions you better address. They did, and it whiffed. Safety now. But secondary, very important. The Bengals did it 2 years in a row. And that's the question mark. And it's still kind of a question mark. You feel confident in both of them. But, like, it happened this year, fortunately, it won't. I couldn't have. If he had another developmental type player, like, if the. This
At
is why.
18. At 18.
At 18, bro, this is why. Like, I heard, bro, I heard a Bengals fan like mention a corner in the first round.
Oh my gosh,
You know what?
bro.
But actually, I love Eric. It's my dog. He said it. I had to cook him. I got this.
Eric did not say
Bro, bro, if you're listening to this, I mean, we already talked about it. Like, but he was at, dude, Quinyon Mitchell, he's a dog. Out of Toledo, he would be great, but it just wanted me to. I wanted to pull my hair out. I'm like, bro, why are we stressing this offseason right now? Because we haven't capitalized on the enough premium picks, right? They're like, oh, Jackson Carmen, Dax, how are you still having a question? Miles Murphy didn't give you enough, blah blah blah. And I mean, they're like, man, if a good corner's there, dude, I would be. Fucking livid. And I'm gonna add actually a bit of context. Eric did come back. He spun around and said I would be upset if the Bengals drafted a corner first round. If any man thinking drafting a cornerback first round is acquittable, I'm fucking smacking you. Like, no.
unless it's Cooper DeJean.
All right. All right. Hey.
Hey, I'm sorry, bro. I think a white corner would be fire.
That'd be lit, dude. Putting off for the squad.
Imagine
Hey.
a white corner turning up in the locker room, bro.
Yeah,
With
that'd be
Jamal.
cool. Oh, that'd be wild. Oh my gosh, dude. Yeah, that'd be cool. But on the real, it won't happen. Cooper Jean's probably gonna go. He's definitely a great, great player. He's a rare one for sure, man. He's just a hard worker,
So
you
you
know.
think he's actually gonna he's gonna be a good corner?
Yes. He is a very, very, very good player, bro. Like,
That's cool.
yeah, it is cool. It's really rare. Long time coming. Yeah, putting on, man.
Way better than Riley Moss coming out.
What?
Way better than Riley Moss coming out, right?
Oh yeah. How crazy was that, bro? I think of Iowa's defense. Like, I'm not a big college guy, and I know you're not either. But like, I know about Iowa's defense. They were led by two white corners.
That's
But
crazy.
that's dope. Like, fucking sick. Like, fuck yeah, dude. But
Imagine you come out to games and you're just like, as a coach, you're like, you got two white corners out there.
If I was 2019 LSU, Joe, Jamar and Justin, I
Like,
mean, right? Because like,
you know,
two,
Matt,
I
that
just,
would have been a no, like that dead ass would have been a legendary duo in 2019. Cooper DeJean and fucking Riley Mawson outside corners.
yeah.
Is Cooper out? Is he outside or slot?
Oh, he's outside, but it's a joke, dude. How I mean, not really a joke, I guess. But they say he's a safety. Shut up, bitch. I'm kidding. Nah, look, dude. He probably would be pretty damn good in safety. But he can play corner. But nonetheless,
who's our last? I think our last white defensive back was Clayton Fedgelum, right? Is that right?
Like 75% white. Jesse.
Who?
Jesse B.
Dad
is his mom is. Yeah. I guess.
But... Jesse definitely has the pass, bro.
Yeah. I mean.
So I feel like Clayton is like the white defensive back we've had.
Yeah. I love Fedgy.
Man, he had some clutch moments, man.
He did. That's a prime. Like, that's how you propel your team forward. I'm serious. It sounds funny that we're talking about Clayton Fedgelum in 2024 and the key to success for your franchise. But, like, hitting on seventh-round picks, even to that degree that you did, you know, propels your team forward.
Seriously?
You know, to bring it back with the beginning.
And I really hope DJ Ivy, you know, the torn ACL, I hope he has a good offseason, man. Good rehab. He was making plays, man.
He was turning up, bro. He was like 2 weeks in a row.
Yeah.
On himself. He was starting to get snaps out there.
That shows you do not, you know, the first round corner. No, man.
I mean, we're with any position and continue the drone. How do you trust the guy? How do you trust anything? You've got to trust. How do you trust? Right. You got to be able to play. Literally, you got to give a shot somewhere. Enough. Yep. And did that with the DJ, you know, DJ Ivy. And he showed you a lot. Obviously, the setback, we know how tough it is for cornerbacks. With, you know, these lower leg injuries, these leg injuries to recover, playing the position they do.
Yeah, it's already such a hard position.
Yeah.
Hardest position on the field, probably.
It's going to be tough for DJ, you know. I mean, it'd be amazing if he does make a full recovery and, like, takes a leap forward in year two. But maybe this year's, like, put on ice for him. I don't know. But... nonetheless, got this a couple minutes, but yeah, man, first round devastated. That won't happen. It's going to be a premium position. It's going to be trenches or Brock Bowers. But I really like protect tackle.
Yeah, bro.
Johnson, whatever.
Yeah. We need to go all in on protection. My opinion, protection should be number one priority. I mean, you've already seen it. It's right in front of your face. The injuries that have occurred. I mean, especially you got to be able to run the ball. I mean, that's something that's like, it's long overdue, man. We've been talking about it for too long. And finally, the Bengals had to learn with Jake Browning. I hope they don't go back to their old ways. Hope they stay afloat in the run game and keep running the ball. But yeah, there's a lot of avenues and it's right around the corner, man. You know, free agency, the combine, and you got the draft a month after that. So it's right around the corner, bro. Like, right, you know, we're going to be talking about free agency. Maybe, you know, we'll obviously get in another podcast here soon. We could probably go through, you know, free agents and whatnot, guys at particular positions that we think we could address in the offseason. May that be, you know, a veteran cornerback, or maybe the Bengals go for another year in a row consecutive on a rental tight end. Maybe that happens.
I was messing around like, may I present to you, like, is it the Bengals are like $1.5 billion tight end? I'd be pissed, dude. I'd be like, oh my God, dude. Like, as tight end one, at least. Like, because Drew Stample and Tanner Hudson are coming back, right? And they'll be a couple mil, but oh, I'd be sick with some cheap ass tight end one, dog. Yeah, we're fucking cooked, bro. How fucking stupid is this team?
Seriously, but yeah, I think at least at cornerback, we go through all the positions, even tackle, and just see really. I mean, think about it. I mean, before we get out of here, now you got Irwin as a free agent, right? So you have your four. You have the two rookies, and then obviously your other guys like Kwame and Shedrick and, you know, guys like that. But that guy's the bank confident with. So it's like, I wonder, I think the Bengals could sign a free agent wide receiver, bro. I ain't gonna lie. That could happen. That could happen.
Yeah. I mean, it could for sure. If it does,
bring out the best position.
Who would be? Like, I don't really know. Yeah,
that's what would be fun in the episode is we'll go down a list and we'll for everyone. Yeah, man.
Yeah, no doubt. No doubt. I just got to add, like, I thought about it recently. More talk about of the break in the Matrix. We're going to look back in history. I wish Kendrick Jackson was, like, more of a legend. Only Bengals fans, you know, that are, like, the king of obscure player knowers. Like, Jake Browning to Kendrick Jackson on a primetime Monday night game in November is going to go down in all-time obscure history. Like, I just won't forget it, bro. We talked about it. Like, the what the fuck is happening to the team I loved moment. Like, how is Kendrick Jackson about to catch a deep ball right now from Jake Brown? In the midst of a playoff run. Like, dude, I don't know, man. It just still shocks me. I remember when he was in early and Joe was cooking. And we remember how he was just fucking grilling that game, bro. He just felt, it really felt different. Like, hopefully no one takes that as a tragic, you know, feeling of like, oh, you know, how everything changed may have felt different. I really felt different in a great way. I'm like, oh my God, he's just cooking on a different level right now. And when Shedrick's dipshit head ass, like, with multiple times went on the wrong side of the field, and he just kept affirming that this moment is way too big for him.
And yeah, then, I think Joe, wait, is this with Jake or Joe?
With Joe early in the game. Remember they had called him.
Joe was yelling at him, yeah.
Yeah, motherfucker. Like, goddamn, bro. Dude, it reminded me, like, when I missed 4 years of football and I came back, I went out on the field. My dumb ass was like that. I felt like I was shit.
Like,
dude, what are you doing? Wrong side of the field. Like, this shit happens in fucking high school football, motherfucker. Like, you're making $1 million as a pro. And I don't know, man. It just, it was a surreal moment. So just had to give a shout out.
Is he better than Mike Thomas, though?
Is he better than Mike Thomas? Oh, yeah.
That's a good question, yeah.
Fuck yeah, dude. Dude, no doubt. Like, dude, I don't even like Andre wearing the number 80.
I know. Wear,
like, why do you got to wear 80? Because, like, and Andre probably, like, why? Like, what's wrong with 80? Like, me personally.
He could have picked, like, Marvin Jones, like, 82 or something.
Yeah, first off, bro, like, let's look. Unless if you're 85 here, 80s as a wide receiver, that's just old, bro.
Yeah.
Like, dude, Andre's a dog. Where number 14? 13? You know, like, don't wear fucking 80. You wore number 9, dog. You were that dude. You were a single digit and you're that big, you're a dog. Like, Peter. Like, we talked about it last year, bro. Like, if you wear the number 0, you better beat that fucking dude. We can't have no fucking Mike Thomas wearing number 0 on the sideline. I'd be sick.
Well, I was thinking if we signed DeAndre Swift, he'd probably wear 0.
No. Ugh. Don't on them. Nope. Not doing it. You know what? Nah, we're going to do this before we head out real quick. Who would wear number zero?
Who, like, on the team or?
Think in a scenario to where, say, if we do bring in a free agent this offseason. Or on this team right now. So, like, anybody that could, you know, become a Bengal in 24 or who is currently a Bengal already in 24, who would wear number zero?
Who would wear zero? I feel like DJ Turner, maybe.
Ooh.
I feel like zero. Yeah, that'd be fire.
That's a good one. Ooh, CTB. Dude, yeah. CTB would fucking, dude, that'd be fire. Yeah.
Wait, what's CTB rock right now?
29.
I like 29, though. 29's fire.
Yeah, true. 29, yeah. 29 is good on him. I just like
I like 20s DBs. Like, I've always, like, yeah, I agree with you. I think 80s is kind of old for wide receivers now, but I think, like, I don't know, 80s for tight ends and then 20s for DBs.
Yeah, so. I was always number 10. I was in the teens, right? My number was 15. Like, that was my number. Or 12. Shit like that. Yeah, bro. I agree with you. The CB number in the 20s is definitely fire.
But you never know. You could get a running back and go zero.
Better be a dog. Better be a dog, bro. Like, even if we drafted Jalen Wright, my, you know, draft crush at the running back position, I'm not really doing the zero thing too much yet. But how crazy would it be, dude? Wait. I mean, if Kwame's still here in the crazy world where JJ becomes a Bengal, what if he were? You know?
Who?
JJ.
JJ is now wearing zero. He probably wear two for real. Oh, no, Evan, never mind.
Look, I'm already a step ahead of you, huh, son? Well, I mean, three would be fire. Three would be fire.
5-1-3. Then Yoshi at five.
Oh my gosh, no. That'd be uncomfortable, bro. It really wouldn't be a big deal. I don't know. As Bengals fans, it'd be kind of awkward. But oh my gosh, how quickly you're just replacing T. Like, remember how uncomfortable and how offended us Bengals fans were when fucking Trent Taylor came in for spring training or some bullshit? Spring training, baseball term. He wore number 18 in practice after AJ left. We're like, how fucking dare this motherfucker? Like, he even had a statement like, if that happened with T for number five, damn.
Yeah, he was like, chill out, yo. I'm not wearing 18.
Yeah, fact. Yeah, interesting for sure. I don't really know. Yeah, I don't see JJ wearing zero. He ain't got swag like that. JJ really, oh, like, you don't have a ton of swag for real.
Yeah, it's just time to throw 18 on.
Yep. Well, I mean, he may have to be cut. Just potentially, you know. Because, like, JJ needs that number. But, all right, dude. that'll probably wrap it up for this episode, guys. I know we kind of covered a lot of stuff. We kind of, just, you know, spitballed a lot of different things. As we said, these 3 weeks we were gone, a few things happened. Let me tell you, we're back probably Friday, if I had to guess. Tonight is Sunday night. It's 2 a.m. Sunday, late as fuck. Combine on Thursday, long weekend. Going to get a lot of insight. And last little analogy, it reminds me of, like, Bengals must love 36 Mafia, or not Bengals, the NFL, because, man, they love formulating their offseason 3 to 6 weeks burnt. As you were saying, it's the best offseason layout concept of any team, any professional team, or league, I should say. It's great. Always got something. One thing's around the corner, one thing's here, another around the corner. Combine's here. Free agency around the corner. Before we know it, free agency here. Draft around the corner. So, just one of the steps in the stepping stones. Before you know it, like you said, we will be here for week one. Can't wait for it all, bro.
Yes, you said Thursday. So, yeah, 2 weeks. 2 weeks after that will be free agency after the combine.
Yep. There we go. Lots to go down, man. So, that'll do it. Appreciate you all for listening to another episode of the All Things Bengals podcast. Peace out, brother.
Peace.